KJAN Sports.
Time for a look at sports. Good morning. I'm Jim Field. Tough one for Iowa State last night that looked like they had a chance to pick up a win on the road at Allen Fieldhouse, but Iowa State ended up dropping a heartbreaker in Lawrence as Ben McLemore's three sent the game into overtime, and sixth-ranked Kansas scored the first 11 points of the extra session to post a 97-89 victory in the Big 12 opener for both of those teams.
When it left his hand, I said we got it because it looks so far to the left, and it somehow banks in, and, you know, it's such a disappointment. I mean, we had it. We're right there, and they just take it away. You know, I can't even explain to you how proud I am of our team. If we go out and play with that kind of effort and that kind of poise and that kind of intensity, we're going to be right up there at the top of the conference when this thing's all said and done.
That's Iowa State coach Fred Hoiberg, who says the Cyclones gave a great effort.
I told him how proud I am of them, and I love each and every one of them. And it's a game you can build on. You know, we're not about moral victories, but we showed we can play with the number 6 team in the country, and we're going to be fine if we do that.
Melvin Edgem finished with 19 points and 11 rebounds as Iowa State dropped to 10-4 with that loss. In other top 25 action last night, second-ranked Michigan remains undefeated. Glenn Robinson III had 14 points, including a pair of crucial dunks in the second half, as the Wolverines equaled their best start to a season with a 62-47 victory over Nebraska. The Wolverines were 16-0 and 3-0 in the Big Ten, overcame their shakiest shooting performance in a while, holding the lead for the entire second half. The only other Michigan team to start 16-0 was the 1985-86 edition. They went on to win the Big Ten title. Number 3, Louisville got a big game out of Georgie Dang with 16 points and 14 rebounds as the Cardinals got their 9th straight win, a 73-58 victory over Seton Hall. 7th-ranked Syracuse got 23 points and 11 rebounds from C.J. Fair as they post a 72-66 win over Providence. In a Big Ten battle, Joe Coleman scored 29 points and Andre Hollins added 19 to help number 8 Minnesota top number 12 Illinois 84-67. Mike Rosario scored 19 points as number 11 Florida opened Southeastern Conference play with a 77-44 win over Georgia. Also last night, number 14 Butler posting a 72-66 win over St. Joseph's as the Bulldogs go to 13-2 overall in the season. Number 16 San Diego State racked up another win. They beat Fresno State 65-62. Number 20 North Carolina State pulled away late to beat Georgia Tech 83-70, its 9th straight win. Cleanthony Earl scored 39 points, helping number 23 Wichita State beat Southern Illinois 82-76. Early's 39 points were the most for a Wichita State player since Xavier McDaniel had 44 in 1985. That win gives the Shockers a mark of 15-1 overall. They're 4-0 in Missouri Valley Conference play. Also, number 25 New Mexico beat number 24 UNLV 65-60 last night. Well, Duke says the senior forward, Ryan Kelly, is out indefinitely with a right foot injury. Team officials said last night that there's no timetable for Kelly's return. The 6'11" Kelly was hurt late in the first half of the top-ranked Blue Devils' 68-40 win over Clemson. Kelly averages 13.4 points and 5.4 rebounds for 15-0 Duke, which plays number 20 North Carolina State on Saturday. Colt Ryan scored 21 points, including 2 free throws, with 18 seconds left, and that proved to be the game-winning points as Evansville hung on to a 62-59 win over Northern Iowa last night. Ryan's foul shots put the Purple Aces ahead 60-57 before UNI's Anthony James layup made it a 1-point game. Ned Cox made 2 more free throws with 10 seconds left, and James missed a tying 3-pointer to end the game in Cedar Falls. Evansville led by as many as 14 in the second half, but saw the Panthers take their only lead since the opening minutes, 57-55, on James' jumper with 53 seconds left. Lewis Jones then put Evansville back in front with a 3-point play. James led UNI with 19 points, while Seth Tuttle, last week's MVC Player of the Week, after scoring 43 points in 2 games, was held to just 9 yesterday as the Panthers fall to 8-8 overall. They're 1-3 in the Valley. Well, the Iowa Hawkeyes look for their first Big Ten victory when they host 22nd-ranked Michigan State tonight. The Hawkeyes are 0-2 in the league race after a lopsided loss at 2nd-ranked Michigan. But Coach Fran McCaffrey does not consider this to be a must-win.
I don't think about games that way. We're going to try to win them all. If we lose, we're going to try to get better. There's no other way to approach it.
Well, McCaffrey says the Hawkeyes need to do a better job of getting back defensively to prevent easy baskets, and they must commit themselves on the defensive end to have a chance in the Big Ten race.
Once you get into this league, I don't know that it matters. I mean, the next game, no matter who it is, it's going to be a really good team. And anything short of our best, we're not going to win. We're not good enough to beat anybody in this league. with anything less than the attitude that you're talking about. So it doesn't matter that it's Michigan State, in my opinion.
Iowa's 11-4 on the season. Michigan State is 1-1 in the Big Ten. They're 12-3 overall. We'll have that game for you live tonight here on KJA, and our pregame coverage gets things underway at 5 o'clock, a little earlier start time this evening. Well, Brittany Griner scored the game's first 5 points and finished with 23 as Baylor led throughout in its first game since taking back the number one spot, defeating 25th-ranked Iowa State 67-39 last night. Griner already had 11 points as Baylor jumped out to a 16-3 lead in just over 8 minutes. The Lady Bears set a Big 12 record with their 25th consecutive conference victory, breaking a tie with Oklahoma. Baylor has won 48 games in a row overall at home. That's the longest active winning streak. Nikki Moody had 11 points for Iowa State, which had won its first two Big 12 games for the first time in 8 seasons, but they also had 15 of their 24 turnovers by halftime as the Cyclones fall to 11-2. They're 2-1 in Big 12 conference play. Well, the weekly Girls High School Athletic Union rankings out yesterday afternoon, the 6th basketball rankings of the season, show the Mason City squad still number one in Class 5A. Ankeny, Des Moines East, Southeast Polk, and Dowling Catholic round out the top five. In Class 4A, the top 15 headed up by Bishop Heelan Catholic. Benton, Western Dubuque, Waverly Shellrock, and Dallas Center Grimes are the top five. Lewis Central is in at number 10, while Harlan is in at number 11 this week. In Class 3A, Davenport Assumption is top rated, followed by MOC Floyd Valley, Esterville Lincoln Central, Mid Prairie, and Cascade in the top five. The top 15 in Class 2A headed up by Western Christian. IKM Manning remains number 2, followed by Lawton Bronson, North Lynn, and Applington Parkersburg. Panorama is up a spot to number 6 in this week's poll. Also in Class 1A, Bedford remains number 1 rated with Burlington, Notre Dame, Newell Fonda, Central Lyon, and Arweva the top 5. Adair Casey stays put in the number 6 position in this week's small school top 15 poll. In the NBA last night, it was Cleveland beating Atlanta 99-83, Toronto topping Philadelphia 90-72, Utah beat Charlotte 112-102, Boston got by Phoenix 87-79, it was New Orleans 88-79 over Houston, San Antonio beat the Lakers 108-105, Milwaukee over Chicago 104-96, Oklahoma City topping Minnesota 106-84, Denver squeaked past Orlando 108-105, the LA Clippers beat Dallas 99-93, Memphis over Golden State 94-87. Well, the baseball writers have spoken, and spoken loudly. For the first time since 1996, they're sending nobody to the Hall of Fame as a ballot full of former Major League Baseball stars struck out in their effort to receive the game's highest honor. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Sammy Sosa are among the players on the ballot who have been linked to steroids in one way or another. Bonds got 36.2% of the vote, Clemens 37.6%, while Sosa received just 12.5%. 75% of the ballots are needed for election to Cooperstown. The most votes went to Craig Biggio. He fell 39 votes shy of election. That was 68.2% of the ballots cast. Hall of Famer Mike Schmidt said in an email to the Associated Press that Curt Schilling made a good point. Everyone was guilty. Either you used PEDs or you did nothing to stop their use. Another Hall of Famer, Al Kaline, said, "I'm kind of glad that nobody got in this year. I would have felt a little uneasy sitting up there on the stage listening to some of these new guys talk about how great they were." Goose Gossage went even further. He said, "I think the steroids guys that are under suspicion got too many votes. To me, they cheated. Are we going to reward these guys?" At ceremonies in Cooperstown on July 28th, the only inductees will be three men who died more than 70 years ago. Yankees owner Jacob Rupert, umpire Hank O'Day, and barehanded catcher Deacon White. They were chosen last month by the 16-member panel considering individuals from the era before integration in 1947. Well, National Hockey League owners ratified the tentative labor deal. All that now remains is player approval to finally start the hockey season. The league's Board of Governors met in a Manhattan hotel and voted on the agreement that was reached early Sunday on the 113th day of the National Hockey League lockout. Following the vote, Commissioner Gary Bettman apologized to everyone hurt by the 113-day lockout that preceded the agreement. He's presided over 3 lockouts in his nearly 20 years as commissioner. Players are expected to vote tomorrow and Saturday. Washington Redskins quarterback Robert Griffin III may be ready for the start of the 2013 season. The surgeon who operated on the rookie signal caller, Dr. James Andrews, said it's everyone's hope and belief that Griffin will be ready for the 2013 campaign. RG3 had surgery for what Andrews termed a direct repair of the lateral collateral ligament and a redo of his previous ACL reconstruction. University of Maryland head team physician Craig Bennett said football players typically need 7 to 11 months to return from a second ACL reconstruction, but that it often takes up to a year for the ligament to be fully healed. Andrews says he expects a full recovery because of Griffin's high motivation. The agent for Colts offensive coordinator Bruce Arians says that his client has been released from an Indianapolis hospital and that they are finalizing details to begin interviewing for head coaching jobs. Mike Brown, Arians' agent, denied that there had been any change to Arians' schedule. Arians, a 60-year-old prostate cancer survivor, has been complaining of dizziness and migraine headaches, conditions doctors believe is related to an inner ear infection. The Colts have given at least three teams permission to speak with Arians: the Chicago Bears, the Cleveland Browns, and the Philadelphia Eagles. The San Diego Chargers have hired Tom Telesco to replace fired general manager A.J. Smith. Telesco has been vice president of football operations for the Indianapolis Colts. His first task with the Chargers will be to help select a new coach to replace the fired Norv Turner. The Carolina Panthers have hired New York Giants senior pro personnel analyst David Gettleman as their new general manager. Gettleman replaces longtime Panthers GM Marty Herney, who was fired six games into the season. Carolina finished the season with a 7-9 record. And star linebacker Junior Seau had a degenerative brain disease when he committed suicide last May. That's according to the National Institutes of Health. They said the Associated Press today. Results of an NIH study of Seau's brain revealed abnormalities consistent with chronic traumatic encephalopathy. The NIH conducted a study of three unidentified brains, one of which was Seau's. It said the findings were similar to autopsies of people with exposure to repetitive head injury. Seau was an outstanding linebacker for 20 NFL seasons before retiring in 2009. He died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Seau joins a list of several dozen football players who had CTE. Boston University's Center for the Study of the Disease reported last month that 34 former pro players and 9 who played only college football suffered from CTE. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.